welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is July 5th. We will have a sneak preview, I guess you could call it, of Obama Deception 2. We'll give you some sneak peeks at interviews with Richard Mack, Joel Scales, and also Chuck Baldwin, Pastor Chuck Baldwin. So stay tuned for that right here on InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. So I'm Ja'Kari Jackson, and I'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Sheriff Richard Mack, former sheriff of Graham County, Arizona. Yeah, I was the first sheriff in the United States, in the history of the United States, to sue an existing president, at the time Bill Clinton, back in 1994, take him all the way to the United States Supreme Court and beat him. Yeah, I was the only sheriff in history to sue the federal government and win a case at the U.S. Supreme Court. The reason I did this was to stop the gun control known as the Brady Bill. And the Brady Bill was the first time in American history that the federal government attempted to commandeer sheriffs for federal bidding, threatening to arrest us if we failed to comply. That whole fight and lawsuit gave birth to a book called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. I wrote it. And I formed, pursuant to all of that, a national organization dedicated to taking back America one county at a time, sheriff by sheriff, county by county, and state by state. That organization is called the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Well, I've been fighting for about 20 years for the Second Amendment, and specifically when I was suing the federal government to stop the onslaught of gun control in 1994. The Brady Bill movement had in its agenda to do exactly what's happening now. They've been trying to do this for decades, and now they're exploiting all these shooting incidents to promote their own agenda. You've got to make sure you know and understand that the agenda here is to disarm America. They are after complete gun confiscation. You cannot make a mistake on that. Look at history. Look at how other gun control specialists throughout the 20th century, Hitler, Castro, Pol Pot, Stalin, Lenin, all of these people, they use the same tactics that are going on today. I was fighting Dianne Feinstein back when I was doing the Brady Bill. I was fighting the Clintons. I was fighting Schumer. I actually interviewed with Schumer one time on CBS. You've got to make sure these people, Bloomberg especially, he's living proof that the agenda is to take your guns. He wants to disarm America. What did he say? He said, every peace officer in this country should walk off the job until the American people give up their guns. That's how stupid the rhetoric has gotten, but it's also how exposing the rhetoric has gotten. They want to disarm you, and with the same propaganda scheme as has been used all throughout the 20th century, it's for our own safety. There has never been any evidence that gun control creates safety or peace or protects liberty. Just the opposite. If we give up our guns, we lose entirely. America will die. Well, if you look at the history and background of one Barack Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotero, he promised us when he ran that he would fundamentally transform America, that he would have his own private army and a security force bigger and stronger than our own national defenses. That should scare everyone to death. The parallels drawn between him and Adolf Hitler are extremely poignant and strong. We got to make sure that we have defenses for that. We got to make sure that we are aware, that we are knowledgeable, and that we are going to defend the Constitution no matter what comes. The constitutionalist groups in this country have been warning us for years that this was coming, and they call us a bunch of kooks, and yet it's all coming to fruition now. We're seeing the dastardly deeds of the NSA, the IRS, the CIA, Secret Service, and now we have sheriffs that are actually standing against this, and they're threatening to go after the sheriffs who are defending our Constitution, defending our Second Amendment, and our right to keep and bear arms. The lines have been drawn. They are being drawn. I'm proud of the sheriffs that are standing against the New World Order, against the call for gun control, unilateral gun control, and gun confiscation. This New World Order movement and the proposals by Barack Obama to destroy America cannot happen if the populace remains armed and vigilant. And Jefferson warned us that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. We have got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. And if we work closely with our sheriffs and become part of their posses, we can take America back. And I want you to know that we can still do this peacefully. And this movement of having a constitutional sheriff in your own county is a peaceful and effective movement to protect America. Back when I was fighting the Brady Bill, this is the mid-90s. Dianne Feinstein was lying to us then. She has said before that she wants to take all the guns. Now she's saying that she supports the Second Amendment because that we've exposed her as being a gun owner herself. So she couldn't very well say it without trying to make up some excuses. But Dianne Feinstein is a liar. Nancy Pelosi is a liar. They have all said they want to take our guns. Every one of them know that the only way to implement full gun confiscation is through the gradual Fabianistic tactics that they're using right now. Washington, D.C. can be stopped. We can stop all of this gun grab and protect American liberty. But make no mistake, these people, Dianne Feinstein, Pelosi, Obama, Bloomberg, they want complete gun confiscation. They have said this before. They believe that the only people that should have guns are the military and the police. If that happens, we will never get freedom back in America. Probably one of the most destructive things, if not the most destructive things that we've ever done in America, was the Federal Reserve, formed back in 1913 when Congress abdicated their responsibility for weights and measures in America and turned it over to the central banks, something that Jefferson warned us to never do. We now have the Federal Reserve continuing, along with the complicity of the federal government, continuing to give money privately to bailouts all over the world, not just here in America, but all over the world, handing out money now when you would think that it would be impossible to do with the recession and horrible economy that America is in. We continue to pay bribes to foreign countries. Right now, look at how stupid all of this is. We're giving $80 million to the IRS, who've been completely criminal in their actions in America, going after Americans, going after innocent Americans, fabricating evidence against Americans, going after the Tea Parties, attacking the Tea Party groups and any constitutional group. And what do? They continue to give more money to corporations, to foreign countries who hate us, and to other banks. And this is a process that is destroying the American economy and destroying American sovereignty and going completely against our Constitution. What we're seeing is true authoritarianism, true totalitarianism in America. And the founding fathers warned us never to go that direction. Ben Franklin warned us, whoever surrenders liberty for a little security will end up with neither. We do everything the founding fathers warned us against. They warned us against a welfare state. They warned us against gun control. They warned us against a police state. They warned us against fiat currency. They warned us against central banks running our economy. And we do it all and we think we're going to be okay. The authoritarian state that we're now in is destroying us, and we better do something about it. Globalism is now becoming the occupier of the American free state. We've got to fight that. We've got to recognize it for what it is. We've got to secure and save our Constitution, which is on life support. We can save America, and we can save our foundation known as the Constitution. The globalist movement out there to destroy America is real. And we can take our country back, county by county and state by state.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at Infowars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.
My name is Joel Skousen. I'm the editor of the World Affairs Brief. I want to give you a background a little bit about how I got to this position where I'm so concerned about the liberty of the world in which we face. It started when I was about 17. I had an uncle whose name was W. Cleon Skousen, one of the modern founding fathers of the American Republic. He wrote a book called The Naked Communist, and in it he detailed in great detail, still a valid book today, the history of how our American brought various communist powers to government, how they brought Russia to power, and during Lend-Lease, during World War, they gave them the rest of the nuclear plans that they couldn't steal through the Manhattan Project, how they gave them the first enriched uranium out of Canada and shipped it to Russia. So it was no surprise to our government when they exploded their first nuclear bomb. They brought Mao Tse-tung to power by cutting off, through the auspices of George C. Marshall, by cutting off military aid to Chiang Kai-shek and letting Mao continue to receive aid from Russia. They brought the communists to China. We brought Castro to power in Cuba by cutting off military aid to Batista. We brought the Shah of Iran to power through a coup in Iran. We brought Saddam Hussein to power in Iraq. All of these dictators we brought to power. We brought the Sandinistas to power in Nicaragua by cutting the legs out from under Anastasio Somoza, a great Latin American leader who was very, very pro-Western. Now, none of these leaders were perfect, but it was very, very clear that the United States, through the State Department and through many communists that had been allowed to join the Roosevelt and Truman administrations, and were still there even up into the Carter administration, that we destroyed much liberty. And I got the feeling very early on that there was something other than communism as a threat. Prior to the Goldwater years, the conservatives of the United States thought specifically that our problem was communists in government. All through the McCarthy years, he correctly documented, even though it was in a very caustic style, he correctly documented that there were communists and fellow travelers throughout government. But what I learned in my research after my exposure to my Uncle Cleon's works is that it was people who were non-communists above these communists that protected them and refused to allow them to be eliminated from the State Department, particularly the second floor on Latin American affairs. They were protected by people who we now know are globalists. And what I'm trying to say with this is that this is a very sophisticated deception, whereby we have people even joining and helping the Communist Party who are not true communists but are globalists, helping to build a great cadre of enemies that they can use those enemies in order to justify more interventions, more justify a war, justify the changing of governments, and supplanting those communist governments with, in fact, globalist governments or puppet governments that can proceed with the globalist New World Order. And we must become aware, even if we cannot win this battle, if those that conspire to take away liberty are too strong, even if we cannot win back the government and nation, we must still continue to help other people understand that the problem is not going to be solved by removing a puppet president like Barack Obama, who has a Marxist background. That isn't going to solve the problem. It isn't going to solve the problem by removing, any more than it solved it by removing George W. Bush, who was a phony conservative, and replacing with Barack Obama. There isn't any Republican candidate who will be elected that will be allowed to change the system. And I know that's not what people want to hear, but it doesn't mean that there isn't hope. It doesn't mean that we cannot fight this system. It doesn't mean that we cannot prepare for the struggles and for the wars that they will bring upon us. And so I want to encourage everyone to do their best to get informed and to share this kind of information with their neighbors. This is not a lost cause. This is a very difficult cause. But we must pour out our heart and souls to God for help, not so much to change those evil men who are guiding the nation, but that we might raise great leaders, that we might win battles locally if possible, but above all, prepare each of us to be able to live our lives so that we're prepared to survive the difficult things coming to us, and then to provide leadership for those who do not yet know. Many people ask me, what does the New World Order really want to achieve by all of this control agenda that they're doing? Let me try to describe it. I think that they want, and it's very important to understand that they've used and built up communist countries in order to advance their globalist agenda. And that's because it's very easy to topple communist regimes who are brutal and who have the most rigorous form of socialism, which was total control and total ownership of all property and means of production. When they topple that, then they give people what they call liberty, but it's not a full version of liberty. It's merely the appearance of liberty. You've always got, as in the EU Constitution, the guarantees of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and family life, and property rights. And yet you have fine print, which then limits that according to the desires of society and the needs, and as manipulated by majorities. And so they aren't true rights as established by our Constitution. So the New World Order objective essentially is to make people feel through crises, through overcoming communism, which they themselves delivered to the world, that they're getting back their freedom. But it's a controlled type of freedom with absolute control over nutrition, over schooling, over business, over licensing of every type of profession. It's in your best interest to protect you from yourself, from everyone else around you, and it's to accustom people to look to government for that protection. And that's why the phony war on terror is so essential to getting people used to this protection. That is why the upcoming nuclear war, which the globalists will bring upon the world as the ultimate step into talking people into relinquishing national sovereignty into a global, militarized global government, is so essential, because it gets people used to the ultimate fear and the fact that only government can save us from threats so large as terrorism or then nuclear war. And there are many preliminary things to get people accustomed to that acceptance so that it isn't so much of a shock. Many people think that the slow boiling the frog acceptance is going to take us all the way into the New World Order. That is, increasing brutalization of police. That is, allowing people to retire from police forces who don't feel good about the brutalization, about the militarization of police that we see. A lot of people talk about foreign troops taking over the nation, but in fact, I see the government attempting to accustom and selectively vet and filter and hire thuggish-type individuals into law enforcement, into military services. And that's what mercenary services of the government and the military are all about, not for economy's sake. But the dying courts and the black waters of the world are built in order to create thuggish-type individuals, find out who is unprincipled enough to serve the New World Order, to serve the dark side of government. They can, in fact, be willing to take down people, to confiscate arms, to jail people who have done nothing wrong and think nothing of it. Those are the things that accustom people, the legal system, the school system, the mandatory vaccines, the mandatory education. Eventually, they'll begin to attack homeschooling. That's an out. They're attacking the Internet to make sure that that ceases to become an avenue of free thought and information. All of these are preparatory venues for an eventual scenario of control, and there will be periodic crises that I see coming in the future. For example, the stock market is heading upward and upward until there will eventually be a major adjustment. I don't believe it'll end up in a total economic collapse, but it will be an adjustment, perhaps 30% drop in the market, sufficient to justify the fact that pension funds will be totally decimated by this, and many hedge funds and other things. And therefore, people will cry for a bailout, a salvation of their pensions. And the answer will be a national pension system, and that's where we'll lose the privacy of IRAs and 401ks. That's an example of the crises which increasingly and incrementally continue to build the accustomed feeling of people that we have to have government to save us from things. But you can't gradually get to a total control system unless people begin to fight back. If you start hauling people for a wetlands violation to a court in Belgium, Americans are going to rebel. And that's why it's going to take war. That's what their objective is. That's why they're covering for the Russians. They're not warning us about their war preparations. They're covering for the Chinese, not warning us about their preparations because they want it to be a surprise. They want the massive shock effect. That's why they're not encouraging through FEMA any Americans to prepare for nuclear war. Even our own government is building massive numbers of bunkers deep underground, not against any terrorist attack, but because they know the nuclear war is coming. And in interviews, I often get asked the question, well, aren't you just promoting this theory of world government and world collapse coming because you sell books and you've written books on strategic relocation or security and survival? And the answer is actually just the opposite. I started out with this threat understanding about where our government was taking us and the ultimate loss of liberty which we're facing, and I decided to prepare. I designed my first high-security home when I was only 17 years old and proceeded to create a business to help other people knowing that this would be necessary. So I have two missions in life. I not only want to wake people up about the threats that are coming upon us, and the threats are from our own internal government, deceiving us about what the threats, allowing wars and terrorism to come upon us that we might take advantage of that to destroy liberty. But while I work day and night to try to influence people to understand the threat, I believe we need to prepare for a takedown. I believe we need to prepare for the wars that they're preparing to come upon us. They may not be able to be stopped. And that's why strategic relocation, my book, is very, very important. It's the only one out there that not only provides you strategic information to judge every safe place within every state in the union. Some states have zero ratings, but it also allows us to provide knowledge of where we can find safety, where there are higher majorities of people that are more capable of defending liberty. And most important of all, if you cannot leave an area because of city, how to develop contingency planning so that you can get out of harm's way when you're in a large city, where to locate in the periphery of those areas, where to locate out of major refugee routes that will come when social unrest comes to major cities. Because our major threat, whether it's war or earthquake or economic collapse or tyranny, is the social unrest that comes from living in population high-density areas which cannot possibly take care of themselves if government collapses, if government lacks services through economics or war. And that cauldron of humanity which cannot possibly take care of themselves is your greatest threat. You must be prepared to provide multiple layers and contingencies of escaping those areas and providing for that safety in your family. And that's what the book attempts to help you do. My other book, The Secure Home, helps you to design and reconstruct a home in the most secure way with self-sufficiency, in a way that you can do it yourself as economically as you can afford. So I recommend to people a very simple formula. Prepare yourself to get to a safe location through strategic relocation. Prepare your home and where you're going to go with safety and security features. But above all, do something today to prepare for the future.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at Infowars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at Infowars.com/show.
We would not have a free country today if our forebears had not been willing to put their lives on the line for liberty and independence. This nation would not exist. We would not have a Declaration of Independence. We would not have a Constitution. We would not have 50 states. We would not have the history of this country. We would still be a crown colony enslaved to Great Britain had not our forebears joined the animating contest of liberty, put their lives on the line so that their posterity could be free. Every generation must procure freedom for itself. We cannot rest on the laurels of what others have done. We cannot assume that because we've been free that we will be free. We are less free today than we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We will be less free 5 or 10 years from now if we do not engage this battle ourselves. Each of us has a responsibility. Each of us has a duty to defend and fight for liberty, not just for our sake. In fact, it's not really for our sake. It's for our children's sake. It's for posterity's sake. If there's going to be freedom and liberty in America in the next generation and the generation after that, it's going to be because we fought for it today. We joined the animating contest of liberty. We were willing to engage the battle. We were willing to use our talents, our abilities, the forum that God gave us, and the abilities and gifts that God gave us to fight this battle in our lifetime. If we do not do that, our children and grandchildren are not going to know the freedom that we've known. They'll be less free than we are, and freedom and liberty will fall off of the face of the earth. And as Daniel Webster said, if the American Constitution should fail, there'll be anarchy throughout the world. I believe that America is the last bastion of liberty in the world, and that it is the responsibility and the duty of men and women inside this country today to get involved in this battle, to engage this battle actively, aggressively, now, or our children will not be free, and grandchildren. So that is the responsibility that every one of us has. I mean, it was Pastor Jonas Clark, for goodness sake, that taught his congregants the principles of liberty in the Church of Lexington. And then on April 19, 1775, when those British troops came upon Lexington and Concord to seize the weapons that were stored there and to arrest Sam Adams and John Hancock, it was about 75 men from that church. That's what history leaves out. The Minutemen were mostly church members from the Church of Lexington, Pastor Jonas Clark, who stood in front of their own church building with their muskets in hand in front of 800 British troops, who immediately opened fire on them, killing 8 of them instantly. The shot was fired, heard around the world. The war for independence began. That all happened because a pastor had taught his people the principles of liberty and freedom from the scripture and natural law. They knew what to do when tyranny came upon them, and they acted personally, individually, with great conviction. And they followed through throughout the rest of that effort. And those pastors in colonial America were as much a part of the gaining of freedom and independence in our country as were any of the soldiers who died on the battlefield. Of course, some of the pastors became soldiers as well. But the point is that they actively, personally, individually engaged in the fight for liberty. The term Black Regiment, which was a term that the British Crown used to define the colonial pastors of America at that time, he used the term Black Regiment. It was a derogatory term. The term was taken from the long black robes that they would use in the pulpit, that they would wear in the pulpit. But it was a derogatory term against the pastors because they were stirring up the people through their messages and their sermons. They were giving them the scriptural facts and the principles of natural law, revealed law, scriptural law, inspiring them to engage the fight for freedom and independence, so much so that the British Crown created this moniker for them, and that's where you came up with the Black Regiment. And they were a regiment. They were a regiment of freedom-loving men who used the forum and the responsibility that God had given them, the churches, the pulpits that God had entrusted to them. And they taught the scripture, they taught the natural law principles, they moved and motivated their congregations to involve themselves in the fight for liberty. And that's what created the spirit and the inspiration for the colonists whenever they came up with the slogan. The slogan of the Revolutionary War was, "No King but Jesus." Well, where did they come up with that? They came up with that because of the teaching of the colonial pastors for many, 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 many decades, inculcating in their hearts and their minds the scriptural principles of liberty. In 1954, when Lyndon Baines Johnson created the 501c3 tax-exempt status for churches, he knew what he was doing. And that, right here in the state of Texas, Senator Lyndon Johnson was incensed that so many of the conservative Christian pastors were opposing him audibly, publicly, from their pulpits. He wanted to figure out a way to silence them. He came up with the 501c3 tax-exempt status. And along with accepting that status, officially you are now a nonprofit corporation, so we, the government, won't tax you, even though they weren't taxed before that. So now that you're a government corporation, you must abide by the IRC, the Internal Revenue Code. And a part of that code relative to 501c3 tax-exempt churches is that you will not engage politics, you will not speak of politics, et cetera, et cetera. So what happened was Lyndon Johnson, in effect, neutered the pulpits of America. And ever since then, churches have been afraid or at least hesitant to talk about anything that might be deemed political for fear of losing their government corporation 501c3 status. The church belongs to Christ. Men of God are supposed to be men of God. They are supposed to be, as were the prophets of God in the Old and New Testament, who stood up fearlessly and boldly proclaiming truth, regardless of who was in power or what the politically correct dogma of the day might have been. You go back into the scripture and you'll find courageous, bold men of God who were speaking the truth regardless of who it offended. That is our calling. As a minister of the gospel, that is my calling. That is what God has charged me to do. That there's nothing in our Constitution that gives the authority of the state to usurp the authority of the church. There's the whole separation of church and state that Thomas Jefferson wrote about meant to safeguard the church from government, not to allow the government to intimidate, coerce, and manipulate the church. So the whole idea is a fraud, that the church would in any way, shape, manner, or form circumvent the authority of Christ in preference to the authority of the state. We are God's church. As pastors, we are God's men, and we must stand for truth as independent, fearless men of God, or we have totally abandoned the calling that we have received from our Savior. Now I understand that we have the government trying to tell Christian churches how they will pray, what they will pray. They try to tell pro-lifers that they must somehow include the pro-choice agenda. I mean, these things are crazy. How in the world? I mean, this is like out of the book of Daniel. This is like the king telling Daniel, you can't pray to any other god except this god for this period of time. I mean, is this what it comes down to? Is it once you go down this road of submission to a governing head other than Christ, then you become the slave of the state. And of course, Daniel the prophet, he wouldn't do it. The three Hebrew children wouldn't do it. And Christians throughout the centuries wouldn't do it. And you and I, and today, we cannot allow ourselves, especially as Christians, to be enslaved by the state. It's really been great being on InfoWars Nightly News. I'm joining Alex Jones. And I just want to say to all you viewers that Alex is carrying two of my books that are in the store that you can get. One is my son and I wrote Romans 13, The True Meaning of Submission, which debunks the fallacious argument that Christians should always obey government no matter what, no matter how evil, no matter how wicked. The second one is the newest book that we just brought. We just wrote this book, To Keep or Not to Keep, Why Christians Should Not Give Up Their Guns. This is brand new. This book is a blockbuster. It shows from the scripture, Old and New Testaments, how the Bible nowhere teaches that Christians should surrender their arms to tyrannical government. That the right of self-defense is a God-ordained, God-given right that's taught in both Testaments, Old and New. And Alex carries this book here at InfoWars, as well as Romans 13, The True Meaning of Submission. Both these books are available through Alex Jones, and I hope that you'll get it. You'll help Alex Jones, and I believe the information in the book will really be a real help to you. Give out to your friends, your pastors, etc. And I believe these books have the potential of changing the philosophy of the churches And if we can change the philosophy of the churches, we can change the course of the country.
Because there's a war on for your mind. That has been our motto here at InfoWars for my 18 years of battle against the globalist. And now we see the open announcements of global, private, corporate tyranny over our governments. That's what the New World Order is. It's an unaccountable, private combine of organized crime engaged in corporate takeovers of nation states and the conscious attempt to abolish basic rights and fundamental liberties. InfoWars.com is not just leading the charge against this here in the U.S. or North America. We are leading the charge worldwide. And that's because our listeners, our viewers, our supporters, fellow freedom lovers like you across the planet resonate with our message of liberty and telling it like it is. And that's why for the last 2 years especially, I have thrown everything I've got, my time, my energy, our backup capital, everything into really trying to awaken the sleeping giant that is humanity. And that's why the July issue that just came in a few days ago is so important. We've already sold about half the stock we have of it at cost in groups of 10 up to 100 in bulk. It covers the entire NSA spy grid, how it ties in worldwide, how it's not about stopping terrorists, but about suppressing and dominating and controlling the free press and political opposition. And in this magazine, we don't just have three free bumper stickers like I did a few months ago. We have 10 bumper stickers, four full-size ones with amazing messages guaranteed to get people thinking like America has been occupied by globalist forces. InfoWars.com. Listen to Alex Jones at InfoWars.com. InfoWars.com. Forbidden information. Listen to Alex Jones. InfoWars.com. And then on top of it, six medium-sized bumper stickers with the message as well. These are key to post in legal and lawful areas on your book bag, your computer, your car, or to give friends and family. I have printed 500,000 of these bumper stickers. Only half of this month's run of magazines has them. So when you purchase them in bulk or you're a 12-month subscriber, you will get the special issue. And I can't afford to do this every month, so it's going to be quite a while until we do this again. Please take advantage of this. Buy them in bulk and give them to your friends and family and encourage them to get these bumper stickers out, because with 500,000 stickers, we can reach tens of millions of people with the message of truth. They want to collectivize us. They want to bankrupt us. They want to drive us into their arms to control us. They want to dumb us down. But the sleeping giant that is free humanity is awakening. So I want to thank you all for your support. I want to encourage everybody to go to InfoWarsStore.com and to get a 12-month subscription or to give a gift subscription. Imagine 12 of these coming to your friends or family's door to wake them up. Or to give a gift subscription to the local police department or your local congressman or woman. This is how we're going to affect change, voting with our dollars and voting with our time. Again, visit InfoWarsStore.com today to subscribe, to get the magazine in bulk, or to give a gift subscription, or to give yourself a subscription to wake up friends and family. I am all in. I am committed 110% to not mince words and to not back off and to boldly confront the globalist. And our listeners and supporters, our InfoWarriors, who aren't behind us, they're right beside us. So I want to thank all of you that have supported us in the past, and I want to encourage all of you out there who may be on the fence, that know this information is true, but have been scared to take action. You had better be scared of not taking action and letting this monstrous system come to fruition. Now is the time to commit. Now is the time to say which side of history you're on. Now is the time to stand against the globalist and the New World Order. And regardless of whether you get this July issue, this July 4th Resistance to Tyrants issue, spread the word about liberty, resist corruption in your area. Millions of us doing little things can move mountains together. I'm Alex Jones, signing off for InfoWars.com and the InfoWars team.